as
God
intended.
Let's go.
So much for this beautiful day. I don't know about you, everybody listening, but I love telling God how much I love him every single day. It's my favorite thing to say every morning, all throughout the day. You can just feel this wonderful energy, you know, reverberate back to you, just come right back to you instantly. I can't tell you how many times I've gotten the chills just saying it. Huge smile on my face. I get excited and I start smiling, you know, just at the thought of saying I'm smirking right now. Such a good thing to do. Aloha and welcome, healers, to Looking for Healing Radio, where you know by now pharmaceuticals aren't going to be the answer, but God's medicine is and always will be. We've had some interesting conversations in our time together, and this will be, I think, one of them. I don't know where it'll ultimately land for you, but there's been some in the catalog, some on Energetic Health Radio and some on Looking for Healing Radio. It's all kind of become a blur to me, so it's just me talking most of the time. We've had some really good shows. One of my favorites this year so far has been What is Light? You know, just the whole conversation around that. I've had a really good, fun time with you all about, you know, God never giving up on us. And, you know, that it was like the right thing in the right time, you know. One of my favorite shows to do, I'm going to do another one like that with Brian O'Shea in a couple months. But, you know, I like being a man, you know, like that was a good one. There's some things you can go back into the archives. We have I'm probably over 300 shows by now. You know, you can go back in the archives and kind of take a listen. Nice little trip down memory lane. It's kind of fun. I think there's some good lessons still in there. And I hope today's kind of falls in line with that, because we're going to be asking a fundamental question and share some really good news with you too. That fundamental question we're going to ask is, why are we so afraid of dying? You know, it always feels to me like we have this real perverse relationship with death, you know, where we're afraid of it. I'm afraid of the unknown. And I think that's understandable to a certain extent until you understand the inevitability of it, you know, like it's going to happen. So if you know something is going to happen, why can't it be good? I guess is my thought with it. I don't think, and I don't remember worrying so much about being born, you know, just happened. Maybe it goes down like this too for us. I've been very lucky to journey to the other side. In the last segment, I'm going to share with you a story that's going to make you feel really, really good. Make you go, why are we even concerned about this? I mean, sure. The survival instinct is there for a reason. It's there to make sure we aren't doing something stupid with our lives, being cavalier, you know, with it. I'm certainly not advocating for that. I'm not advocating to go and tease death or anything like that. Just saying, if it's not that bad, where we go? What if this is hell? And God's just really, really cool. So cool that even in hell, you can experience love and light, logic and laughter. Right? But there's something far greater that we come from. I don't know if you like me, but, you know, my whole life, and I got over 50 on me now. My whole life, I never felt home. I never felt home anywhere. People would describe that feeling, and maybe it was like I grew up in a big city, you know, it was starting to become much more chaotic as I was born, and but it never felt home. And the only time in my whole life I ever felt home was when I went to the island of Kauai for the first time. I'm going to tell you about that journey in the second segment. But I just never felt home, you know, like, and I think with good reason. This ain't our home. This is a place for us to learn. This is a school, a really beautiful school. It's a place for us to develop the best version of who we can be in the time that we have. Time being the grand illusion in front of us. And so something really miraculous happened this past weekend. And I mean that in the sense of the word, miraculous, a miracle took place. Here I am, you know, finally getting these stupid security adult-proof lug nuts off of my rig, you know, my little teardrop rig that I'm so proud to pull around, you know, and go places. Been going places with it since we first got it way back in, whoa, when did I get that? 2016, 2017, something like that. It's been holding its own for quite some time, you know, some pretty harsh environments, the dry deserts, the wet Pacific Northwest. It's been all around the country, you know, did a whole drive way back in 2018, summer of 2018, I think it was. With my son, one of my favorite memories. We drove all across country. We went on a tour, going and seeing family all across the nation. Went to Washington, D.C., you know, and got some special tours by some dear friends of the of a whole number of places, you know, just beautiful. Just we have a whole, you know, if you do one of those mega trips with people you love and get those pictures and get them printed out and everything, you know, those keepsake kind of photo albums. Yeah. Yeah, such a good trip. But this little trailer apparently had some security lug nuts on it the whole time. So we're really grateful that we never blew a tire or anything, or I would have had a nice you know, you see those vehicles on the side of the road that have been abandoned for like 40 years, you know, rust all over them. That's all that thing would have been good for. We blow one of the tires, especially where we were going way off grid, and you know, you're in between, you know, you get worried when you're driving around the country about when the next gas station is coming up, you know, because you can see your meter going a little low and you're like, I don't know any parts around here, and if we run out, we're in a lot of trouble. Yeah, we were having some good times through South Dakota and Montana and North Dakota, and, you know, and dropping down, going through the glory of Wisconsin in the summer. Oh my goodness. Those folks do like their cheese. I didn't realize. I thought that was just kind of a stereotype they were playing up. No, they really enjoy their cheese up there in a myriad of ways, which is a bummer for me since I don't eat very much cheese, you know. So I was like, I wish I could have something here. But we just had this glorious time. The trip was so cool too. We actually were coming into Chicago on the 4th of July. And when we came in to go see my sister and her family, you know, there were just fireworks all around. It was just like such a wonderful like entry into that city and everything. Thankfully she lives on the outskirts of it, so out in Flossie. So you know, but it was just this magical time, you know, driving all around the country. I mean, we did this huge loop, you know. And I'm just grateful that we didn't blow a tire, because that would have been a bad thing. So this miracle happened this weekend. I went and got those two stupid adult-proof, you know, security, because we all need security, lug nuts off, you know. And I had had my trailer sitting out by the house for over a year, not using it because I didn't want to blow the tire. Like now, if I know, you know, that these things won't come off, you know, now of course I'm going to blow a tire, at least in my mind. So I just didn't do a whole lot. I've been out in nature plenty, but I just wasn't doing much camping out. got the lug nuts off, did that whole American know-how. If you want to find out how to do some things, sometimes you just got to bang the absolute beep out of it, you know? So I went and got some 12-point long seat sockets and just got a sledgehammer and went to work like they showed on some of the videos. I was like, I don't know if this is going to work, but we're going to try it. Just bang, and they got those suckers off first try too. So I was like, wow, these are really worthless. If somebody really wanted to steal my tires off of my single axle teardrop, they would be able to very easily. There's no security key that's going to stop them. It's just going to stop us from actually doing what we love. So I was a little bummed that it took me a year to figure that out, but I had gotten so discouraged taking the rig around from tire specialist to tire specialist. I thought if anybody's going to know how to get this stupid security key off, it's going to be one of them, right? And I heard all kind of crazy stuff, kind of like when you go to the hospital, you know, and you start hearing all these opinions. I heard all this crazy stuff from, hey, we'll just take a saw and we'll saw off your wheel right there. We'll be able to salvage the tire, put it in, and you can buy some new rims and we'll put them on there and everything. That doesn't even sound right. You mean tell me, well, if I splice through, if I go and get my heat gun, and it was just you're hearing all these things. I'm like, wow, it can't be that complex, right? I mean, these things are, and it wasn't. You go to YouTube and there's guys all around the world like, no, you just go get a socket, bang it on, and you twist that sucker off and you're good, right? So took me a year to work up the courage to have a miracle, but it did. And I got everything off and I put my doggies in the back and I said, hey, we're out of here this weekend. Let's just get out and start this whole adventure again. I get the rig on the road and see what I have to fix, you know, when I come back home. Because, you know, if you have an RV or a little teardrop like me, you know, there's always some work to do on those. There's always a project. So I came home with a nice laundry list of about six or seven things. You know, after not using it for a year, you're going to have to tend to. But the miracle wasn't getting the lug nuts off, and it wasn't going out in the nature, although that's a miracle every time if you really stop for a second and let it wash itself over you. The miracle was what happened when I got to the campground. Usually don't like going to campgrounds. I usually like camping away off grid, you know, getting away from things, being around some water, of course, but especially out here in the desert. But it's like, you know, it's our first time out. Let's just go and be around some people, bring a book, you know, sleep outside, you know, hear some crickets, hopefully hear some water. And we get to the campground and something amazing happened. There was still one spot. Now we had prepaid for it, but you know, those things can sometimes fill up anyway. But some they had held us a spot, real sweethearts at the campground up into where were we at? Page Springs up in Arizona near Cottonwood. And starting to get a little dark. I'm getting myself set up. And this sweetheart, little angel, starts walking by asking me if she's trying to give away some of her food. You know, like trying to give me a big old thing of, I think, muesli or something like that, some organic muesli. And I was like, well, I like that it's organic, but I don't think I'm going to eat that. You know, it's not really my jam, but really, really sweet smile and sweetheart, you know. And she was like, well, can we talk later? And, you know, you seem like you're interesting. And I was like, yeah, I probably smell like I'm interesting at this point with all these dogs around me, but yeah, sure, you talk later. And then just as I'm doing that, this other guy, her name was Summer, this other guy, Gabe, comes walking by on the other side. My dogs go crazy because that's what dogs do, right? I'm like, they are poorly trained, to be honest. So, yeah, they're not very well behaved. They listen sometimes, you know. But they're barking and barking and barking. He's like, hey, man, that's a cool teardrop. Everybody likes the teardrops, you know, the dream of just being on the open road free again, right? And he had this really nice fifth wheel anyway. But he's like, hey man, you know, I got a little green stuff. You think you might want to come up and hang out for a second? I was like, yeah, I think I could. So we went up there and brought a nice little honeybee. It's called a honeybee apple. Delicious. It's like a little mini cosmic crisp. I love them. And just tried it for the first time actually a couple of days ago and fell in love instantly. Nice and crispy and sweet, you know what I mean? Delicious. So I brought him and his wife, Brittany, a couple over. I want to be a good neighbor, everything. And we're burning one. And I'm sitting there for a second, feet on the ground. Of course, I'm earthing. I'm getting, I want to get as crunchy as I can get. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, this is out here all the time. I've been missing this so much. This is a part of my soul, folks. I've been camping since I was, my first pictures are me camping. I mean, this is just how we grew up. So I'm like, wow, I've missed this so much. This is just something humans are doing all the time, and I haven't been doing it. What is wrong with me? Well, it just turns out he's a blues guitar player. And he had his guitar, Zach, sitting right there, and he pulled it out while we're sparking and got to playing. And all of a sudden, a guy named Stan shows up with a whole bunch of harmonicas. And he starts playing along with them. And we got all of a sudden a show. People start coming around and just bringing a little bit of drink, a little bit of, stuff to put in the air, a little bit of food. Everybody's hanging around. Brittany coming out, putting out some stuff on the table. Hey, everybody, come on, sit down, enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. And Summer shows up again, this time with a fiddle. She can fiddle, she's a violinist. And all of a sudden, we got this bluegrass funky thing happening all around for hours, right? That's the miracle. I've been watching a commercial, I think it's from Jameson alcohol, and I'm not an alcoholic. You might get me to sip on some sake here and there, but I'm really not. It's not my jam at all. But they have a great commercial. It's this, you bring you into a bar, right? And everybody's kind of singing the same song. I don't know if it's like Sweet Caroline or whatever it is, but they're singing something together and everybody's having a good time hugging each other, hoisting their drinks and spilling them all over the place. And their tagline, which is so appropriate right now, people are good for you. And if you're afraid of dying because you're having this grand time, I get it. If you're like, look, I'm not ready to go because this is really awesome. No matter what your awesome is, it might be raising some kids, might be seeing some kids off to college like I'm about to do. It might be, just being in love, right? There's a reason that you want to stay. I get it. But still, there's no reason to be afraid. Because there's more miracles out there than even the grandeur of just a whole bunch of people coming together with some musical instruments, some green stuff, and a little bit of food. There's a whole bunch of miracles out there. Way more than we can possibly appreciate, possibly even comprehend. And I got to tell you, today's show, we want to get into wholeheartedly an open, honest adult conversation about why are we so afraid to die? And why? Why do I want to get in this conversation? Well, I'll tell you when we come back with more Looking for Healing Radio right after these messages.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit healright.com/outloud or americaoutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Clean, pure, with premium ingredients, Global Healing's Pure Plant Protein offers 20 grams of protein per scoop, and it's a perfect way to maintain and build lean muscle while indulging yourself. It combines enzymes and probiotics to maximize nutrient absorption, improving digestion and your gut health. Available in vanilla and chocolate flavors, elevate your protein consumption while supporting your overall wellness with pure plant protein. Go to americaoutloud.shop and get 15% off using the code Out Loud, Global Healing, giving you the power to take control of your health naturally.
You've all heard Dr. McCullough and others share over and over the value of keeping your sinuses cleansed. It's a smart move all year, but even more so when we're cooped up inside. It's not really open for debate any longer. Those that live smart and live well pay attention to nasal and oral hygiene. Cofix RX has just the tools for the job with our nasal and throat cleanse. Click the Cofix RX banner on AmericaOutloud.shop to get 20% off your entire order. That's right, AmericaOutloud.shop. Use coupon code OUTLOUD. That's coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off your entire order.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
All right, healers, welcome back. Yeah, what an incredible... You know, the sticky icky was nice, too. So anybody, any aficionados out there, you know, if you ever find me, we'll find ourselves a little walkabout. Go have a little fun. You know, first thing I want to say is make sure you go to energetichealthinstitute.org. Get that free EMF guide. I'm going to keep banging this drum for probably the rest of the year. If you are new to the show, if you haven't gotten this guide yet, but you're not new to the show, what you've been doing, get this guide. Literally every single day, I get positive feedback on the grounding sleep system. People who've been trying it and are reporting the following. I get the same thing on, but oh my God, that is the best sleep I have had in my life. Oh my God, my husband is saying that it's feeling so good for him. Oh my God, I'm dreaming again and they're pleasant. They're enjoyable dreams. Oh my God. Oh my God. I sleep so soundly. I don't even wake up anymore at night, not even to use the bathroom. When I wake up before my alarm. I feel refreshed. Why? Because you're literally recharging your batteries. Your body is certainly an electrical being. But it's electrical being, it's a battery. And when we're in these EMF fields, it's just draining our batteries, folks. We're in a constant state of unconscious adrenal fatigue. If you want to check out that, I think we did that on Energetic Health Radio last week. Right, last weekend show was like just like when you're bathing in an EMF field and you're ungrounded, you are in an unconscious state of adrenal activity, which is going to lead to adrenal fatigue, adrenal exhaustion. You're just going to be wiped out. So if you're waking up feeling groggy in the morning and having a hard time getting your engine going, you know, and you need like 18 cups of coffee to even make it, I can tell you something way better than coffee. It's called a grounding sleep system. And you can learn more about that by going to energetichealthinstitute.org. Stop being a patient. Start being a student. Get that guide. Watch the two videos that explain all of this stuff to you. We show you how we measure these things. So there's no ambiguity. And then all you got to do is take that next simple step to go and get your grounding mat for your bed and your grounding sheets right on top of it, and you are going to enjoy the best sleep you've had, and at very least, a very, very, very long time. Go to energetichealthinstitute.org and go get the guide. Other thing we want to say is big shout out to globalhealing.com. Make sure you go and check out their catalog. Like I've been telling folks, that works really, really well. It works really, really, really well with this grounding sleep system. Is putting a little copper back in your body, especially if you've been taking a whole lot of zinc over the last couple of years. If you've been loading up on zinc, 25, 35, 50 milligrams a day of zinc, because the great Dr. Zelenko told us to do that. What I want you to understand is he was telling you to do that to build your body up, not as a level of dosing for the rest of your life, okay? Because it comes with a consequence. You keep loading up on zinc, you are going to push some copper right out of your body that you need, and copper conducts. So that's why it's going to help you charge your battery. It's going to help you maintain that charge on your batteries. Go get yourself some of that bioactive copper from Global Healing. Put in promo code OUTLOUD. Start putting that great, great medicine into your body. Get yourself a grounding sleep system. And then write me a testimonial of how good you're feeling, because that's all I'm hearing these days, folks. It's the first thing in my entire career where I've heard people singing its praises within a week of starting it up. Okay, that's how important it is for folks. I've had so many people come to me, folks, just in the last couple of days talking about, I will not sleep any other way for the rest of my life. That tell you something? Because it tells me all I need to know. Go to Energetic Health Institute, get that guide, go to globalhealing.com, try out that bioactive copper, and let your body do what it does best, heal. All right, well, let's have a little fun here. Told you in segment two I was going to tell you a story, right? Just so happens that I have almost died many times. When I was still real young, I contracted pneumonia, developed pneumonia. They thought I was going to die. I was, my God, how old was I? I think I was like two or something like that. I remember being in the hospital freaking out because the nurses couldn't do what Dr. Artis says all the time, right? What's the first thing they do as soon as you get admitted to a hospital? Put salt water into your body. Salt is so bad for you, but that's the first thing to do. But I couldn't stand needles. My parents would tell me stories about how I would literally fight nurses when they were trying to vaccinate me. Like, I was not having it. They would have to like bring in four or five nurses to hold me down to give me a vaccine. So whenever I saw a needle, I was like, nope, we're not doing it. So even when I was like just wiped out, you know, with pneumonia, couldn't breathe, I was still fighting them from trying to get this stupid saline. I didn't know what it was. I didn't want it in my body. I didn't want no needle in my body. But I remember after a bunch of failed attempts and they didn't know what they were going to do, this sweetheart, and I mean absolute sweetheart, who's practiced nursing the way it's supposed to be done. Nursing means to nourish, right? That's where the name comes from. She said, oh, you all get out of the way, right? And she just like shooed some of the new nurses away. Just get out of the way. Let me come over here and watch. Let me show you how to do this. And she just started talking to me. So, baby, we're going to do this and we're going to put this in. It's going to make you feel better. She started explaining it. And she said, I know you don't want to see it. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to turn away. But I'm going to go get a little Dixie cup. Remember those little Dixie cup water cups, right? She went and got a little Dixie cup and she tore the bottom out of it. And she put some tape right over where she was going to go. Said, now, if you do want to watch, you can just watch me do it right here, right through that little Dixie cup. All right. And then you don't have to worry about it. And she said, now, what I want you to do, I want you, as soon as I say go, I want you to blow out with all your might, just like you're blowing out candles. And then we'll get this in. You're going to start feeling better. Okay, baby. Okay. Right. She did it. First one, boom, right in. Didn't feel a thing. And now I had my little safety thing where if I didn't want to see the needle, I didn't have to. And if I wanted to, I could look over the Dixie cup. I mean, you know, you want to talk about teaching there. There's a whole lesson right there for every person in the cult of Asclepius temples right there. Because they kicked nurses and doctors like that out. They're not there anymore. Good people aren't allowed in those buildings because good people actually care. You know what I mean? So that was one. Another time I got hit by a fire truck. Yeah, you heard me right. I got hit by a fire truck. Didn't get hurt at all, which was amazing to me. Ripped the car in half. Jacked up my mom and my dad really bad, but they made it. They survived. But I was literally not in a seatbelt. I'm hanging on both headrests. I'm sitting in the back. And then I looked back and the seatbelt was real shiny. And I was like, oh, you know, I'll put this on for the first time. I never wore a seatbelt. It was back in the day when you didn't have to wear seatbelts and stuff like that. And this is back in the day when you could sit in the back of a pickup truck on a freeway in Los Angeles as a little kid holding onto a rope as your brother's driving like a maniac on it. And nobody cared. They're like, ah, we got extra kids. You know, it's no big deal. So, yeah, got hit by a fire truck, ripped the vehicle in half, not even a scratch. My parents actually flew me down to Los Angeles. I had to go take an algebra test next day. Failed that. Probably not a good idea to make a kid after they've been hit by a fire truck, go take a test, but we learn. Got hit on a bike once, flipped over a car. I flipped over a car, y'all, and landed on my feet. Okay. It was one of the coolest things, like Mary Lou Retton, you know, in the 1984 Olympics on the whatever the, that's not the pommel horse, whatever it is, you know, where she, you know what I'm talking about, where she just went off. Yeah, except I didn't Mary Lou Retton it. All my momentum carried me forward, and I hit the ground with my hands and my knees and went skidding for about 20 feet, and could see my bone and everything like that. My dad came and got me. He's like, "What's wrong with you?" I was like, "I just got hit." He said, "All right, we'll go home and walk it off." We didn't go to the doctor or anything like that. Like, I think you're, I don't, this is, it's so much fun when you grow up with parents who are like, "I think you're going to live. I think you'll be all right. We got extra kids. Don't worry about it." You know, many, many crazy times, crazy, crazy times, but none crazier than this. 2001, I went to my brother's wedding on the island of Kauai. And this is where I was telling you, I was like, this was, I'd just gotten into the healing arts, and I was just studying yoga and starting to work on breath work and starting to tap into some of my latent abilities. We all have, all of you listening, you have latent abilities. You just have to develop them. This is where getting your body clean and all the stuff we're talking about and looking for healing is. You're the depth of your potential. Believe me, you will never find it if you keep exploring. So I'm exploring. We're landing. I remember landing on the island of Kauai. I remember landing. And they had a rule, at least at that time, had a rule where no building could be taller than the treetops. And I remember landing and just, it felt like for the first time, I'd never been there. But for me, the first time in my life, I felt like I was coming home. Fell in love with the island instantly and all the people. I was one time walking down the street in Kauai, and there was this really cool procession of like kindergartners walking by, and all kids, all colors, you know, and spectrum and everything like that. And this one kid with a big fro stopped mid walk, you know, and these, all these kids are like holding hands and everything. And he just stopped and he like let go of the hands and he started staring at me, and I had all my fro out and everything. And I'm looking at him and I was like, who's going to talk first? Should I talk first? I mean, and, you know, he started having this conversation. Should I talk to the kid? Is everybody going to get freaked out or anything? And he looked at me and he just went and said, "What's up?" I was like, "Nothing. You good?" I was like, I think I'm the one that's supposed to be asking those questions, but yeah, okay, I'm good. You know, that actually happened. You know, I had the same dream. You know, you go to Hawaii, which translates literally as breath in the water, right? That's how awesome it is, right? That's what the word Hawaii means, is breath in the water. And I had the same dream every night for like 4 or 5 nights in a row, you know. It was every night I was going around outside the Nepali coast and into this little cave. I should probably go back there and go and see if that cave exists. But I would go into this cave, there'd be a little light in it, and I'd go a little further. And by the last night, I got in there and it was talking with a kahuna lapa'au. Get his name. Wish I had remembered it. But I'm talking with a kahuna lapa'au. And kahuna lapa'au, kahuna is a healer, or person of great importance in the Hawaiian culture. Lapa'au is healer. So I'm talking with him and he renames me, you know, "Your name would be Hanale," you know? And I was like, yeah, all right. That's weird, you know, but all right, roll with it, I guess. So after, well, in the middle of these dreams that are happening every night, I decided to do this thing where I decided to go to where they filmed Jurassic Park and do a hike. I love hiking. So I'm like, all right, let me go and see if there's a good hike out there. I brought myself a lunch, a lot of water, backpack, you know, let's go and see what we can see. So I go to the tour area, the you know, forest area and everything. You know, and I get to this ranger station place, and, you know, and I go in and I'm like talking, and it's big Hawaiian, you know. She's just like, she's behind the counter, and I was like, "Hey, you know, so any good trails. And I think people saw me and they saw like how crazy my hair is. And it looked like I fit in, you know, pretty good on the island. So they just were like, why are you talking crazy? You know, I didn't have any of the accents or anything like that, you know? And they were like expecting me to have an accent. I remember this dude came up to me. He's like, bro, why you talk so funny? You know, and I was like, I'm not from here. He was like, where are you from, bro? I was like, from LA. He's like, well, what the hell are you doing there, bro? You know, it's like, I don't know, I guess I'm just wrong. But so I'm talking to this woman, big mom, big mama, you know, and I said, hey, so where can I get a, where can I get a good, you know, good hike, you know, I want to do like a 10 mile hike or something. Where can I get a good hike? She said, hold on. She gets up from this stool and she comes around the counter. And I'm standing there and I'm like, well, what's going on? I'm thinking she's going to about to go help somebody with something else, you know, on one of the walls, you know, one of the things that people can buy, tourists and stuff. And she's like, she stops and she gets out from the counter and she stops and she looks at me. And she looks down right at my feet and then comes all the way up and looks down and comes up. And then she turns around and she's walking back behind the counter. She says, yeah, you look like you could do the Nepali Coast Trail, bro. Right? I was like, that should have been my first clue that there was a problem, potentially, right? I've never been sized up to see if I could do a hike, you know? And I was like, yeah, okay, let's do it. And she goes, all right, you just go down here, bro. And go over here, you know. I was like, okay. So I went through all this brush and everything. I didn't know if I was going the right place, the right way and everything, but I figured it's an island. You're going to fall off it at some point. And, you know, if you're going in the wrong direction. So I get all the way through all these thickets and everything, and I get to the actual trailhead. I found it somehow, some way. And I start walking on it. And then it dawns on me a little bit why she says, you know, it's because you can see all the neighboring islands where it was a beautiful day, crystal clear, you know, you could see whales off in the distance. I mean, it was gorgeous, right? It was just this gorgeous thing, but you're up really high. Like, I was up about, I think it was 3,500 feet or something like that, right? And I'm looking, I come out from the thickets and I'm looking around and I go, oh, wow. This is beautiful. And I start walking on the Nepali Coast Trail, right? And the trail goes from being about 3 feet wide to start narrowing. It starts getting to like, a, I don't know, 2 feet, you know, and you can see that the wind is starting to wear some of it away because you're kind of, you're right on the cliff side, you know. And I'm thinking to myself, I hope this trail widens up a little bit. I hope this trail widens up because I'm terrified of heights, and I don't like falling. I like falling less than I like heights. So I don't know how this is going to work. I start walking a little bit more and I look to my left and folks, there's a drop. I mean, when I tell you I was 2,000 feet above birds, circling jagged, sharp rocks down below with waves crashing against the side of the coast. I mean, I was 2,000 feet above some birds looking down on, one step, and this is all she wrote. There ain't no rail to the left. You know what I mean? There's only air. I'll tell you a little bit more about what happened right after these messages.
When God, through his grace and mercy, gave us free will of the people was to live freely. To that end, we fight for the liberty of all at a time when global tyranny threatens us as never before in mankind's history. This vision is manifest at AmericaOutloud.news, a site for all who cherish free will and freedom. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
I'm so confused. I don't know what to do.
I'm afraid of going to the hospital.
My doctor tells me nutrition doesn't work.
Trust is earned. We are the Energetic Health Institute, and we want to earn your trust. natural medicine, holistic nutrition, detoxification, fasting, cellular healing, and so much more. Remember, the best way to be free is to be healthy. So stop being a patient and start being a student at energetichealthinstitute.org.
Cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death and disability. Lifestyle changes are critical, but you can also support your heart with concentrated nutrients. Healthy Cell created heart and vascular health to support cholesterol and blood pressure with CoQ10, vitamin K2, resveratrol, and soluble fiber. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow. Get heart healthy. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
All right, healers, welcome back. We are on the island of Kauai. We've been told that we look like we can do a trail that ends up being roughly about 12, 14 miles long, something like that. And I'm on the first part of it. I'm probably about a good mile into it, maybe not much more than that, but I'm on the side of this cliff and I can see the neighboring islands and I can see the water and everything's gorgeous. But if you look straight down, folks, it's a 3,500 foot drop onto a very painful, like they will impale you kind of rocks. Like, this is going to be a very unpleasant thing. The wind is pushing, you know, you can see the erosion on the trail. It's like I told you, it's been narrowing. It's gone down from, you know, it's gone down from hopefully what probably should be about 3 feet wide, which is still pretty tight. You know, I mean, you're still like hugging the side wall, you know, and the side wall has these, you know, tree roots coming out of it and stuff like that. You know, and everything. And it's beautiful red clay. I mean, beautiful red rock, just beautiful, you know, kind of like when you go to, you know, I'd say probably Utah, you know, you get that nice, or Sedona in Arizona, you get that nice red rock. So it's got to have like a lot of iron in it. It's just incredible. And I'm walking and I'm thinking, okay, just, you know, take your time through this part. Hopefully the trail widen up in a little bit, you know, hopefully it'll get a little wider. It can't be this, you'll never make it. Like, this is going to be the slowest hike of all time if this is the width of the trail the whole way, right? I've never been on this trail. I have no idea what's about to happen. And the trail widens a little bit for a second, then it narrows again. And when it starts narrowing again, I'm like, okay, you've already done this, you know, quit. But being a scaredy cat, just, you know, get through this section. It's probably going to be all right if you get through this section. Just as I have that thought, my left foot plants. And my left foot is on the side where the side to the fall, side to the jagged rocks. My left foot plants and the entire trail gives way. And I start falling to my left, looking straight down, you know, like Donkey and Shrek. Shrek, I'm looking down. You know, it was bad, you know. And I reached out my right hand to grab onto anything. And it just so happened that there was a root coming out right there that I got a hold of. The trail has basically disintegrated behind me and a little bit in front of me. There's little pouches I can stand on and things like that. And I got to tell you, folks, I am terrified, partially because nobody knows I'm on this trail. I got to Kauai a few days before the wedding party. I was just like, I wanted to go and do some exploring and stuff. Nobody knows where I'm at. And I'm like, okay, this is going to be bad. There's going to be like a search and rescue for my brother's wedding. And I'm going to be dead on these rocks. Something's going to eat me. You know, there's going to be some crazy stuff going on here. Birds going to be pecking at my eyeballs and weird stuff, right? I sink both of my arms into the soil, into the red clay and everything. That's my dog saying hello to you. And I'm stuck on the side of this cliff, y'all, for at least 30 minutes, just totally frozen, hoping there isn't more of the trail that's going to give way and the rocks are going to fall. I don't know what I'm doing here, but I'm like, nobody knows I'm here. I got to be a part of my own rescue here. So I keep one hand holding on to some roots deep in the dirt, and I start taking my shoes off So I could feel the ground beneath me, and I throw the shoes down the further down the trail and everything. Take my socks off, throw them down the trail and everything. And I decide that I'm going to have to sidestep scale this for what amounts to probably about 15 feet. Now, 15 feet doesn't sound like much until there's nothing below you. Then it's like, oh my God. And I know some of you think, well, why didn't you just go back? Because part of that was messed up too, going back. I was in no man's land. The trail just gave out on me. You have a lot of time to think about your life and death and come to terms with some things like, you know, this could be it. It's not one of those sudden ones like a fire truck hitting you. It's not one of those slow erosion ones like a pneumonia where you don't know what's going on because you're a little kid. This one, I'm fully aware of everything that's going on. And yes, to be very clear with everybody, I did say I want my mama very much. Okay. That was my first actual thought was I want my mommy. This sucks. Well, healers, obviously I made it across and the trail widened and it became this beautiful adventure afterwards, you know, just places to stop and eat some of the snacks and sandwich that I had made and brought and sit there, got so crunchy and dirty. It was wonderful. I actually get back to the trail, the road after about 12 miles, and luck would have it, a new married couple was coming down and they picked me up. I mean, I was like, I must've looked like, you know, Kill Bill, where she comes out of the grave, you know, and there's dirt and everything flying off her. I'm sure. Cause I looked different, you know, and they picked me up. So I was like, thank you so much for picking me up. I know I look crazy. And they were driving like, where are you coming from? You look like you've been through hell. And I'm like, well, been through heaven, but there's a little bit of hell in there, I guess, you know. And they were like, well, we're thinking about doing the Nepali Coast Trail tomorrow. I was like, no. If you love that woman, don't you take that woman after you just said I do on that trail. She will divorce you. She'll divorce you, and you still might both die, you know. And I told him the whole story and everything. But I think on that day, I came to terms with the inevitable. In terms that I came to, but that I don't have any control over when and how necessarily. There's some things I can avoid. There's some, you know, you don't have to be cavalier with your life. You know what I mean? But I did decide on one thing, because we do have control over this. What are we going to do? And on that day, I decided, if I go, if this cliff gives way, I'm going to go smiling. I'm going to go smiling because this is where it's supposed to end. And I'm going to end well. I'm going to end with a smile on my face and love and light and laughter in my heart. And I hit those rocks. I'm going to hit them epically. It is going to be something that they will talk about for a long, long time. Because they're going to find what I used to occupy as a body, smiling, even through all the pain. And I've promised myself that ever since that day. It's actually the only thing I've promised myself about with death. What happens next? I don't know. Honestly, objectively, I don't know. It's nothing. Well, I'm probably not going to care. There's nothing afterwards. But fortunately for us both, I know it's not true. You see, that was 2001. And I think it was August in 2001. It might have been July. I don't remember exactly. But 3 years later, in August of 2004, I got to see where we go. To a place called the Hall of All People. I was in Chicago about to do some body work. And I was sleeping on a couch at my good friend Darren's place. You know, had a full slate, you know, 4 or 5 sessions of body work every day, you know, set up. So there'd always be a lot of spiritual energy going on. So I was sleeping one night and I went into this deep, deep sleep on the most uncomfortable couch you can imagine. So it was a miracle that I even got to sleep, you know, this deep, deep sleep. Let me read a little bit from a journal that I wrote way back in 2004. This is titled The Hall of My People. So I walked in with my son before he was born into this world. We walked on grass on this huge meadow that reminded me of the Page Museum in Los Angeles. They had the dinosaurs. Like this building built into a mound of dirt. When I walked into this building, you know, I had my son on my right hand. I had two other kids holding my left hand, and we were all just walking in. It was wonderful. You walk in, and there's this huge hall. You think it's this little building, but it actually goes on forever. And the more you walk into a room, the more it expands. The only thing I could say it reminded me of was like Harry Potter movies. And I hadn't seen any Harry Potter movies at the time. So it wasn't like a pre-imprint, you know, a pre-program. So. But the way it was that there were pictures of people all over the place. Big ones, small ones. Everybody gets to choose their picture that they want to put up. And when you walk up to the picture, it starts to talk to you. Because the person wants you to get their message, the thing that they left, the thing that they learned when they were living, that they want you to have the opportunity to get before you have to go through a lesson. This wonderful classroom where if you can get the lesson here, you don't have to go through the hardship. There were many, many pictures of my ancestors, and all of them were moving. And as soon as you walk up and stand next to the picture, it's right there. Some people would put their proudest moments of their lives immortalized forever. Some would put their worst on there, hoping that you get to see and learn. A wise person learns from their mistakes, and even wiser being of light learns from the mistakes of others. All along the hall were many rooms, some complete, filled with pictures, and some with spaces still. In one room, my mother was selecting her moments and placing her picture alongside those of my grandmothers and those that came before us. You see, in your ultimate life review, you get to choose what you want to leave for other people to see. There is no supposed to, there is no should, there is no anything other than this is what had meaning for you that you hope someone else it'll have meaning for them. I can only describe it as being at an immense sense of peace. And that all I wanted to do more than anything else was stay because, again, I felt home. I wanted to stay and stand in front of every picture I saw through the great hallway, through the small rooms that expanded out forever, all around. And at the end of this great hall, that there was just this huge bright light. And I wanted to walk down there and see what that was. I must have been so immersed in what was going on, healers, that I forgot to breathe. Because I heard a voice saying to me, "You have to wake up. It's not your time. You have to wake up. It's not your time. You have to go back. You have to go back." I didn't want to. And then with all this light flooding in and, you know, it felt like I was you know, that whole sense we get in the movies where there's that, you know, you're going at the speed of light, you know, where it's just like, you know, it's kind of like in contact where you see the light and it just kind of takes off and you become just a part, one of the photons in that light beam. Came back in, and when I came back in, I'm waking up on this couch at this huge gas. Hyperventilating. I couldn't write fast enough. Everything that had come in, I didn't want to miss one thing. That's when you know it's a vision and not a dream. There's a difference between the two. But I was so loud, so hyperventilating that Darren, who was upstairs, came down. He's like, "Are you okay?" I'm like, "Oh, I'm fine. You know, just writing frantically everything I could possibly remember. How do I know it was real? Because I remember holding my son's hand, and on the right side of his head, there was a spot of hair missing. He was only in the dream, in the vision, about two. And a little over a year later, my son would be born. Guess what was missing? In his hair. That exact patch. In that exact place. I remember it because it actually looked like a little halo, a little spot on the right side, but it had a straight line all the way back around by back of his skull. And he was in the vision. It was the same thing, exactly. Skin tone, everything was exactly the same. When I saw that, I was like, oh, he was showing me. He was showing me that there's nothing to worry about. No fear necessary when we talk about our final days, our final breaths, our final moment. That where we go is far greater than this place that we are. Because this place isn't home, even though it's beautiful. There's something better on the other side that is home. So I encourage you to have an adult conversation with yourself about your preconceived ideas, feelings, concerns, fears about dying. There's nothing to be afraid of. Not at all. May God shine his divine light down upon us all, everyone we love, and surround us in the protection of his warm and healing embrace. May we have the courage to receive these blessings as they find us. Be worthy of these blessings by embracing the four opportunities. Take no offense. Speak truth. Be selfless and remain humble. Dr. Henry Ely for Looking for Healing Radio and the Energetic Health Institute, saying aloha vau ia oe. I love you very much. I hope you give yourself a chance to entertain that what comes next is far greater than what is right now. Amen.